This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you aboard for Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on not only WRKF 89.3 in Baton Rouge, but WWNO 89.9 in New Orleans, the two most prominent public radio stations in Louisiana with a collective audience in the several thousands. Yeah, we're glad you're with us. And if you're so inclined, give us a call at 877-217-5757. 877-217-5757, or send an email to talk@talklouisiana.org. Robin Dow Producing, signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And we're joined for a bit by the Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, the Honorable William Harold Billy Nungesser, seeking a third term. Right now, his lone opponent is Elbert Lee Guillory, the former state lawmaker. And Billy Nungesser was elected in the year of 2015, defeating Kip Holden, mayor of Baton Rouge, but he was reelected in 2019 with more votes than any other statewide elected official. And of course, he is assigned to promote Louisiana. And one of the ways Louisiana has received much promotion at a cost is through the film industry. And there is legislation being debated at the Capitol as lawmakers head down the stretch with a June 8th deadline to finish the legislative session, in which a bill that would extend a motion picture tax credit program, which attracts movie producers and film companies to the state, it would extend it another decade. Opponents say it's time for the incentive program to expire, slamming it for returning what they say are only pennies on the dollar to the state treasury. What's your perception of this program, Governor Nungesser?
Well, when I first got elected, that was the first year. Remember, they got rid of it for 1 year. And I wanted to know the impact it had on tourism. So we did a company that does that. We hired to look at what is the impact of tourism. And it showed it was a little over $1 billion. 9%, that study showed 9% of everyone that looks at planning a trip to Louisiana was heavily influenced by a TV show or movie that they saw. NCIS New Orleans did great things for New Orleans. Steel Magnolia still brings people to Natchitoches. So this past year, we updated that study, knowing that it was back up for debate, because I wanted the legislators to know it has a tremendous impact on tourism. The one thing I would like to see in the bill is that they have to identify with the city or town where they're shooting, so it brings visitors to that town and hopefully leave behind an artifact that we can use for some type of movie, museum, or display later to draw additional visitors. But I think looking at that, it has a real impact on the tourism industry and visitors. I like the idea of having a cap on it because you can't be a runaway train, but I think it has real value to the tourism industry.
Do you think the money in the end will be there, that lawmakers will continue to subsidize this at taxpayer expense?
Well, I think if they look at the whole picture, I think it will pass. And the reason for renewing it for 5 or 10 years, when people look to shoot a TV show like NCRS, what has long-term effects and benefits to Louisiana, they have to go out, shoot a pilot, go back and sell it to the network, and then come back and film. So if it could go away year to year, it's harder to lure those TV series to Louisiana. So that's the reason for the commitment for 5 or 10 years, to make sure those companies that are looking to shoot TV shows or sitcoms or repeat programs, there's a longevity there that they can plan. They'll have that incentive there.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. We'll take a call or two for the governor, Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And if you'd like to send an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Mona and Kenner notes that other states, particularly some states in the South, are financing the industry in big numbers, which is, I guess, a reason for Louisiana to keep it, or if you look at it another way, to get rid of it. Can we keep pace, say, with Georgia, Governor?
Well, Georgia will never sustain unlimited tax credits. You know, I have many discussions with the Lieutenant Governor of Georgia. At some point, it'll bankrupt that state. And that's why the Louisiana legislature put a limit on it years ago, because it could be a runaway train. And when it's costing billions of dollars to Georgia, at some point, they're either going to have to put a limit on it, or like many things, when you look at what it costs the state, at some point, they may do away with it because of the money it is costing that state. So I think the smart thing that the legislature did was put a limit on it each year. And if it runs out this year, you can apply for them next year. That way we know exactly what it's costing the state. We can take the tourism numbers rolled into what it does benefit and really get a clear picture each year against the cap that's in place. So Georgia will never be able to sustain unlimited tax credits for movies, whether they realize it this year, next year, or in a few years. But if they leave it wide open, it'll bankrupt that state. And so we will be the beneficiaries if we do have a tax credit in place, even with a limit, when and if that happens in Georgia.
Well, the cost right now is $150 million, which is a lot of money, but the state budget is $42.5 billion. Billion. So it is pennies on the dollar, and for higher ed and for teacher pay and things like that. But Billy Nungesser makes the case that the $150 million returns at least $1 billion in residual revenue from people who see Louisiana and want to come here, travel here, and visit, pay for hotels, restaurants, and all that good stuff. So there's a case to be made either way, but I think at this point the momentum is on the side of keeping it, and I'm sure you're pleased about that, Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, but I never, you know, you mentioned all those important things, teacher pay, teacher, our police, our medical industry, absolutely has to be on the forefront of funding, in my opinion, whenever we look at them. There's always ways to cut waste in state government, and I've done that in my department since I took office, was able to keep the parks open and have some even making money. But those issues you mentioned should be at the forefront every year when funding comes up, and our special needs community, which is largely left out a lot of times.
Lou at New Orleans. Lou, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. I live in New Orleans. I work in the film industry. I've been working in the film industry for years. I and all my family and friends moved back to Louisiana after being born and raised here to work in this industry. I see firsthand all the small parishes that we go into, and we filter millions and millions of dollars in lumber, in labor, food, clothes, all that you can imagine. And the best thing about the film industry is that you can come out with a high school degree with zero experience and get a job making $60,000 a year easy.
All right. She makes some cogent points.
She is, and I'll tell you this, the people that work in that industry are so passionate. And just like her, a lot of people have moved back here or moved here at a time when we're losing residents. This has been a great draw for Louisiana. And we are now seeing more and more schools are adapting to training people for that industry. And you don't need a college degree. And she's absolutely right. People are making good money in this. And I'll tell you, some people are getting some good parts in these movies that is changing their life and their career right here from Louisiana.
Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, you're on with Lieutenant Governor Nungesser.
Good morning. I am one of those people who, I'm originally from California, where you can hear lots of Cajun and Zydeco music, and moved here because of that. But what really got me was an old movie with Dennis Quaid called The Big Easy.
1985, 85, I believe. Yeah.
And had fabulous music and filmed in New Orleans. And that was the beginning of my getting here. And the other thing is the value of our traveling bands. There was just a huge festival in San Diego called Gator by the Bay that, you know, thousands and thousands of people go to. And another one that just wound up called the Bayou Bon Vivant in Norfolk, Virginia, that hire local musicians and have local food and Louisiana artists. So both of those entertainment industries bring so many people here.
Well, thank you, Trish.
Trish, I went to Gator by the Bay, and we sponsor our musicians to go out there and play. because those are the people that want to come here and see our jazz, our festivals. And also, we'll be going to Canada next month and bringing Buddy Guy up there for the Jazz Fest in Canada. Those kind of events that we do all over get people really excited. You know, we partnered with Lauren Daigle and then Lainey Wilson this past year on the Rose Parade. Our great Louisiana ambassadors have promoted Louisiana all over the world, and we don't give them enough credit, because when they play in other cities, towns, and countries, they talk about their love for Louisiana, and it gets people excited about coming here.
Randy and Zachary, let's slide you in quickly, Randy.
Good morning, Herr Nungesser. I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right, well, short and sweet is Randy and Zachary, and we'll be back with more from Billy Nungesser in 90 seconds. Thank you for being with us. This is Friday Politics on Talk Louisiana on not only WRKF 89.3 Baton Rouge, but WWNO 89.9 in New Orleans. Thanks to station manager Paul Mawson for allowing us to have access to one of the great audiences in all of the country every Friday. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're spending a few more moments with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. And when he's on our show, he often brings a travel bag, and this day is no exception. We have a bag, a beautiful Louisiana Feed Your Soul, LouisianaTravel.com, a big bag with a T-shirt and a cup, travel cup, and much more. If you can answer Robin Dow's trivia question, name the Louisiana governor who lived in three centuries, not one, not two, but three different centuries. If you get it right, you'll get this. 877-217-5757. David in Old Jefferson. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with Billy Nungesser.
Hey, good morning, both of you. My question is about the repairs after Ida for the state park. My wife and I just returned from Tickfall State Park. We love that place. It's absolutely gorgeous. Wanted to get some little info on how the repairs are going. None of the boardwalks are repaired, and there's really no trails you can walk on yet.
Yeah, let me tell you, the greatest frustration I have, and look, I have a great working relationship with the governor, but Jay Darden works for the governor, not me. Everything I do has to go through the administration. They bid out the work. They hire the contractors. I was at Fountain Blue just the other day, disgusted with the progress on those cabins. Still ain't repaired from the last hurricane. But those contractors don't listen much to me because they work for the administration. And the one thing I would beg the next governor is to let me separate my budget from the administration, follow state law, and bid out the work. I'd have every park in tip-top shape within 6 months, or they wouldn't work for me. Unfortunately, it took 10 years to get the cabins open at Bayou Signet after Katrina, and it takes way too long. And that's just not acceptable to me. And I feel your frustration, because we are on these contractors, consultants every day. And it's frustrating because they don't think they work for the lieutenant governor. They work for the administration because I don't get to hire them. And I could do it quicker, cheaper, faster, save us money. If I could bid it out and hold their feet to the fire, they'd all be back open in great shape within 6 months, or they wouldn't work for me. And unfortunately, it's taken years after every hurricane to get these parks back open. And it's something I've been fighting since I got elected.
Dan in downtown Baton Rouge. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Is it Jimmy Davis?
It is Jimmy Davis.
That's pretty good.
September 11th, 1899 to November 5th, 2000. He was 101. 101 years, lived in three centuries. That is hard to do. You got to be born at the right time to make that happen. But Governor, a few months ago, I was in Atlanta, and an Uber driver who was from Haiti, a young lady, just moved there and making an honest living. She was listening to music as we were driving to the airport, and she was playing "You Are My Sunshine" by Jimmy Davis. And I said, "What do you like about that song?" She says, "It's the most beautiful song I've ever heard."
You know, we bought the rights to that and re-recorded it with Lauren Daigle. and it won, and we put it to a video, The Great Outdoors of Louisiana, and it won international awards for the best plan coming out of COVID to promote a state. And it's my favorite, and her voice is so beautiful that she's actually going to put it on her next album. But that is the second most recognized song in the world next to Happy Birthday, right here from Louisiana.
Leonard and Lafayette. Leonard, you're on with Billy Nungesser.
Oh, Leonard's too late. He was going to guess that too.
What?
But I just want to say you all are doing a great job. Thank you a lot.
Okay.
Thank
all right.
So
Leonard had the right answer to Jimmy Davis. Kevin in North Baton Rouge. Kevin.
Yes, sir. I want to say, Mr. Nungesser, you are my favorite Republican.
Thank
I want to correct
so
something that I didn't get to finish yesterday about the abortion thing. I just wanted to say that you have more commercials to adopt a pet than you have to adopt kids. But Billy Nungesser, if you run, you got my vote.
Well, and
thank you, my friend.
He is running for re-election.
That's a great point too. There is more commercials about adopting pets than children, and there's a lot of children out there that need adoption. That's a pretty good point.
It is a good point. And, Governor, it's always a pleasure. And before we leave, Governor Nungesser, I think Robin Dow has pulled up the Jimmy Davis version of You Are My Sunshine and this man who was born in 1899. Think about it. When he was born, he was just a few years born after Huey Pierce Long a few miles away. They were young lads together in North Louisiana. But Jimmy Davis went on to fame as an actor and singer and then ultimately became governor of Louisiana in the 40s and the 60s. And here he is doing his most famous song and, as Billy Nungesser said, the second most recorded song in the history of music.
The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. But when I woke, dear, I was mistaken, and I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy.
And, Governor, we'll let you compose yourself. I'm sure it's emotional when you hear the former governor in all his glory.
It really is. I tell you, it's a great song, and what a tradition in Louisiana to have the second most recognized song in the world sung by one of our governors. It's just another great thing comes out of Louisiana.
Thank you, sir. And we'll talk again next month if things go according to plan, and I hope they will.
Look, tomorrow morning I'll be at the Capitol putting out those flags with the Blue Star Moms to honor those loved ones they lost during war. And it's a great opportunity to just say thank you to those families. And let's keep them in our prayers this weekend.
Yes, thank you. And joining us now from the nation's capital is Mark Ballard, who often covers things that are what some might term as grim. But in this case, he's got the top story in the Metro section today, and it's a sports story. LSU women's team begins D.C. visit. National champions get special tour of Capitol. And Mark Ballard, there's a lot of buzz around Kim Mulkey and her national champions from Louisiana State University.
Yeah, they'll be visiting the White House today to be greeted by the president and the first lady. That's going to be about 1 o'clock our time, central time. And the vice president is going to be giving remarks. And it's been a great time. What was surprising about what went on in the U.S. House was how bipartisan it all was. That luncheon had both Democrats and Republicans who normally don't, you know, speak well to each other, but we're all there enjoying chicken nuggets and taking selfies with the national championship basketball team.
You note that the television audience for the championship game won over Iowa 102-85 by LSU. 9.9 million was actually more than the 9.4 million that saw the men's championship contest. So women's basketball appears to be moving up and away, and LSU is at the forefront. Another great recruiting year. Who knows? Kim Mulkey might be back, and she's already won several championships, not only at Baylor, where she was head coach three times, but also when she was a player and coach at Louisiana Tech. So the White House is not new terrain to her. And listener notes there, Steve Scalise, right in the middle of all this, who's an LSU graduate. But he has to be a little bit miffed, writes the listener, that Garrett Graves, pride of Baton Rouge, who did not go to LSU, by the way, Garrett Graves is one who's leading the charge for the Republicans, led by Kevin McCarthy, in the debt ceiling negotiations. Why isn't Scalise at the table instead of Graves?
Well, I think that Graves is kind of a chief assistant to McCarthy. And the way you need to look at it is that this is really a negotiation between McCarthy as the leader of the Republican Party in the Congress and President Biden. And
well, we will pause and pick up with Mark Ballard. Again, 877-217-5757 is your number. This is Jim Inkster. You are aboard for Talk Louisiana on WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge on Fridays, Friday Politics. And Mark Ballard is with us. We're 20 weeks away from the governor's election, 20 weeks in one day, 141 days. So it's not a long time. We will know who's in the runoff, in the November runoff, in just a few months. 877-217-5757. But much happening both in Washington and in Louisiana between now and then. And Mark was talking about the debt ceiling negotiations and Garrett Graves' involvement. And a listener, more than a few over the last few days, have noted that Joe Biden also has a Louisiana presence at the table when it comes to trying to get an agreement. The head of OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, is Shalonda Young, who is a Louisianian, and she is a graduate of Tulane University. So Louisiana, standing tall and proud. Shalonda's only 45, and she's a native of Zachary, undergraduate degree from Loyola in New Orleans. So it is, I think, a case, Mark, despite the fact that this is serious business, and right now where it's an uncertain voyage, that we've got some people from our state who are doing very well and are at the precipice of power. They are really on the verge of big things, both of these people, Young and Graves.
Oh, well, that's true. It's important to note, though, that Congressman Graves is not at the table, but it is his plan that they're talking about. That's the Republican proposal. But Director Young is at the table. She is part of the negotiations, at least on the staff level. And I think it's interesting that we have two, not just Louisiana, but two Baton Rouge representatives that have a major role in this negotiation, which is, I'm told, getting close, that they may have an agreement within the next few days. But then that just starts the clock, because the House has to hold it for 72 hours before they vote on it. And then the Senate's going to have to vote on it. And if you haven't been paying close attention to what's going on in Washington, is that it's a lot of fractious factions. And so it'll be hard to put together that particular group that will be a majority in both the House and the Senate.
Yeah, even if they come to an agreement, there's no guarantee. And the outcome of a long process would not be good. And the markets already are responding adversely to the prospect of this. And right now it's just a prospect. And most people believe that it will turn out okay. And Dow is up 360 points in the early going today, indicating there's some optimism about a deal. But these members of Congress have left town for Memorial Day. And considering what's at stake, that is a bit surprising, isn't it, Mark? I think we lost Mark for just a moment. Mark Ballard has not left town for Memorial Day. He is in Washington, and I see that we did lose him, and he is calling back. And Robin Dow has him. And while we're waiting for him, let's go to Steve in St. Francisville. Steve, you're on the air with Mark Ballard. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. I just wanted to ask both you and Mark, since we have such powerful people in Washington, D.C., Does the fact that we remain on the bottom of every list rest solely on our local politicians? And I'll take my answer off the air, but I'll say that I believe that is the problem.
Local politicians?
Well, I don't think that they're related, actually. I mean, I think what would you end up with is that Louisiana is been at the bottom of every list for generations now. And is that local politicians, or is it the people that elect the local politicians not demanding better? And so, I mean, I think that it's a great question, but it's also a theoretical question.
And our congressional delegation is a conservative body and unwilling to really be out in front on the climate change issue. When I say out in front, no state is affected more by what is happening than Louisiana, and yet our people, because they're beholden to the oil and gas industry, they largely let others do the heavy lifting on this. Same way with guns and on the deficit, which is the big issue. I hear Garrett Graves saying we have a spending problem as a country, and we do. But when you look at it, Bill Clinton reduced the deficits of Ronald Reagan and George Bush. Barack Obama reduced the deficits of Bush second. And Joe Biden has reduced the deficit of Donald Trump. So why is the debt ceiling only an issue when there is a Democratic president and a Republican Congress, Mark?
Well, it's I think it's a negotiating ploy. I mean, also remember that Donald Trump borrowed a couple of trillion dollars to cut taxes, which was very popular. And so, I mean, I think it's a negotiating ploy. And that's one thing that keeps me optimistic about it all, because all of these no way, no how factions, you know, they bought cars. At least when I bought cars, it starts off with, you know, I can't possibly do that. And then in the end, you come to some sort of an agreement.
Well, on the home scene, which Mark used to cover with Ernest, and now James Finn is doing some fine work at the Capitol along with Tyler Bridges, but the headline in today's Advocate, Mills says he has no regrets for trans vote. A veteran Republican lawmaker from a rural Acadiana district has received an onslaught of threats from national conservative activists for casting a decisive vote to kill a bill that would have banned health care for transgender children. Fred Mills says he has no regrets. This man is from Parks, Louisiana. He's a pharmacist, and he says he made the right choice on this. He says, we're going to legislate a few dozen people who need this medication. This is ridiculous. The statistics show this is not a problem. But as James Finn notes, the backlash against Mills, who also is a banker and chairs the Senate Health and Welfare Committee, is coming from social media accounts of prominent anti-transgender activists. The bill he voted down sought to bar access to puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and gender-affirming surgeries for people younger than 18 years old. It was a bold move, and Mark, if this had gotten out of committee, it's quite possible it could have gotten to the governor's desk.
Possibly, yeah, and then leave the governor to have to veto it. I mean, the transgender was identified 3, 4, 5 years ago by Republican operatives as an issue that would raise money and would raise support among the base. And that Fred Mills, if any Republican was going to do it, I would say that Fred Mills would have been the one that did it. He's always been kind of a steady hand on the tiller and has viewed things from a perspective of impact on people, you know, particularly people in St. Landry Parish. And so, I mean, that he was the one that did it does not surprise me at all. He's often taken unpopular stances.
877-217-5757, your Friday politics number for Mark Ballard of The Advocate. Carol in Jefferson Terrace. Carol, you're on.
Yes, after 40 years of progressives given in to the right wing, what do we have left to give? I mean, this is, they keep talking about bipartisan and negotiating and on, but it seems to be going one way over time. I mean, other than the Affordable Care Act, I can't think of anything that the progressives have given, and they didn't really give that. Thank you.
All right.
Well, I would ask also the Inflation Reduction Act, which was the first time that the federal government has ever addressed in a comprehensive way the climate change problems. Then you have the infrastructure bill, which is addressing many of the maintenance and improvement problems with highways and bridges and ports and airports. And that hasn't been addressed in some time. He does have a point in that, and it is certainly a point that is being made by Democrats on Capitol Hill, that they're afraid the president is going to give in too much to the conservatives in trying to keep this debt ceiling crisis under control. So, you know, at some point, I guess the answer is that liberals step up and stop being ashamed by the title liberal. I mean, politically, that seems to be what is starting to happen now.
I mentioned when we lost you briefly that the lawmakers, I'm told, on Capitol Hill have left for a Memorial Day break, and I'm not questioning that they work hard, but with this crisis in the offing, some would find that a bit curious, Mark.
Well, certainly, and the Democrats in a large numbers yesterday also brought that issue up. However, right now, Congress does not really have a role until there is some sort of an agreement that comes to fruition between House Speaker McCarthy and President Biden. And so while, yeah, it would seem better that they would, you know, keep at the wheel, right now they can't really do anything until they're presented with, this is our proposal.
Well, when we're talking a week from now, we'll be past that so-called June 1 D-Day that Janet Yellen mentioned. Where do you think we'll be a week from now, Mark?
Well, I'm kind of thinking, well, that June 1 was she said is the date, but it may not be the drop-dead day. There could be a few days afterwards. I'm thinking that we're going to have an agreement sometime maybe over the weekend or early next week, and then we're going to have about a week or so of the House and the Senate having to approve the agreement, and then it has to get to the president's desk.
Well, thank you, Mark Ballard. Always a pleasure. We'll talk next week. And coming next, former Congressman Henson Moore. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And in the home stretch, we have distinguished Congressman Henson Moore, who represented Louisiana in the U.S. House from 1970.
You can't even remember.
Well, I remember it was 1975 to 1987, 12 years. And then he was a guy who was deputy chief of staff to the president of the United States, George Bush the First. Lives in Baton Rouge and grew up in southwest Louisiana, and is a guy who I know our listeners want to hear his thoughts about this debt ceiling thing. But he's wearing another hat today. And it's the USS Kidd hat, and he has with him Les Nicholson, who is leading the charge as a board member to preserve the Kidd. And there is a funding apparatus that is being debated in the Louisiana legislature. But the Kidd was commissioned in February of 1943, April of 43, launched in February, and right in the middle of World War II. And it is now stationed right here in Baton Rouge, and this is because of one Henson Moore. He was a member of Congress, and he did everything he could to get it preserved. And for those who visit Baton Rouge, it is a must-visit place to go, and it has a rich history. It designated a National Historic Landmark as the best-preserved World War II destroyer in 1986, and it takes money to keep it going. It is a huge, huge ship. Henson Moore, where are we right now with this?
Actually, she's been in Baton Rouge now, Jim, 40 years. That's a long time. It's been here for people to visit, spend the night aboard as a memorial to our country's fallen, and also as an educational institution. It's having a bit of a problem now, and Les is very much involved in the details of that. I'll pass that on to him, but only to say, you said it's the best preserved World War II ship. It's the only one of five destroyers left in the world that is configured to World War II. And that's why it was made the scene of the Greyhound movie that starred Tom Hanks. Yeah. Was because it was the only ship in the world that was reconfigured back to World War II. A ship like that used to have to go into dry dock every 5 to 7 years. This ship last went into dry dock something like 61 years ago, 10 times when it should have gone in. And the mm-hmm. reason for it was, we thought, all the engineers and everything told us that when we got the ship, including the Navy, we had to hire nautical engineering and firm to help us bring the ship here. We were in fresh water, not salt water. And so the chances of it rusting and having leaks and whatever were minimal. And it turns out we've just hired a very bright museum executive director who went to Annapolis and retired as a naval officer for his career, who's an engineer. And he spent some time now looking at the ship that's beginning to spring some minor leaks that are growing in size every so many places on the ship, and began to look at that and figure out why. And this ship mm-hmm. is the only ship in the world that's displayed and moored the way it is. It's like a ship model.
Okay.
And when we had that designed and done, all the architects said, well, we'll think it'll work, but nobody knew the longevity. It turns out that it is a good way to moor the ship, but it causes some pressure mm-hmm. points on the hull of a ship sitting on that mm-hmm. cradle too often and too long. Therefore, that's the cause of the leaks, and therefore that's the cause of the problem that Les is now working with the legislature to try to get some state funding to help us with.
Well, the kid was towed to Baton Rouge from Philadelphia May 23, 1982, 41 years ago this week. She was 39 years old at the time, now 80, as in 80. And like any person, this ship needs some tender, loving care at 80 years old, but it costs a lot of money. Is the legislature inclined to designate the funds necessary?
Jim, I think the legislature wants to honor Louisiana's responsibility. The Navy entrusted this ship to Louisiana, and now Louisiana needs to protect this ship. The ship is actually leaking more and more, much faster than anyone thought would happen. The metal cradle that Henson was referring to, which is a wonderful device, has protected this ship from the rise and fall of the Mississippi River, is now actually the biggest enemy to the kid. It is rubbing against the hull. These ships were never designed to sit on metal supports. They float, all uniformly supported by the water. Turns out that over the last couple of years, as the engineers have pointed out to us, the state hired a company last year to look at what's happening to the kid because water was coming in. The engineers mm-hmm. have now told us the corrosion is increasing in an exponential manner. We are now running pumps to control the water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and every now and then a new leak pops up or an old repair gets punched out by the weight of the ship on the cradle. It is a much more volatile situation than anyone understood.
Well, it's a memorial for World War II veterans, and certainly apropos to discuss as we approach Monday's Memorial Day. But a listener notes that this was a federal project, and we're seeking state funding. Do the feds kick in some money, too?
Well, we're going to try that. We're working with Congressman Garrett Graves' office. And interestingly enough, another World War II destroyer, the USS Sullivan's, you may remember in the press about three or four months ago up in Buffalo, New York, sank. And they have gotten a large amount of federal funds to restore it. So we are intending to go that same route. Everybody's telling us, though, that your funding for this isn't going to come all from one source. And so the state, Les is pushing hard to get the slate to do as much as it can. We're going to push the federal government, and we're also talking to the city government about some help. You remember Woody Dumas. He was a strong supporter of bringing the kid to Baton Rouge,
we're
and the land we sit on, Woody Dumas saw to it the city council gave to us.
All right.
We're also going to have to ask individual contributors in the end to also contribute some money, because everybody who's putting money in the pot wants to see somebody else.
Well, this can't be done on the cheap. We're talking a lot of money, aren't we, Les?
We're talking a lot of money. And
how much?
Let me correct the listener. The money is about $8.5 million.
Okay.
And the contract between the Navy and us made it clear Louisiana took responsibility for the ship. The Navy passed all financial responsibility to us here in Louisiana. The federal government did not retain any financial responsibility.
So it's our responsibility.
It is ours.
We
the
can still ask. We can ask. But
we can ask. But the legislation recognizes this is a capital asset now of Louisiana. And right now, there are only two people in the legislature who can provide the money we need. And that is the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, Bodie White, and the chairman of the Revenue and Fiscal Affairs Committee, Brett Elan. Henson frequently corrects my pronunciation of Senator Elan's last name, and I probably still don't have it right. But those
gentlemen. We know you're talking about.
Those two gentlemen can, in fact, provide the money in the pending legislation that we need.
Right.
We have reached out to the governor's office. There are mechanisms available for them to do it. I hope they do it.
Well, and I have a feeling this won't be the last time we talk about it. It is a major part of the fabric of the Capital Region. I can't imagine Baton Rouge without the kid standing tall and proud on the river.
If I could, Jim, it's also all these years been self-supporting. It has not received money from the state to operate or the federal government or anybody else.
Gotcha.
It has been a very successful tourist attraction.
2 million visitors. Nearly
every,
2 million
every
visitors.
Year. Every
and
year.
So we, not every year. Cumulatively.
Okay.
And so it has been very successful, but we're running into something that we didn't know to be planning about. As I tried to say in the beginning, nobody predicted this would happen.
Well,
the engineers and architects.
2 billion people walk by there, and I suspect over time at least 2 million have been aboard the kid. But quickly, debt ceiling negotiations. You've been here before. What do you think?
I've been here when I was in the White House, I was telling Les, and I was in the Congress every year. This comes up every year to try to increase the debt limit, because we haven't seen a year when you didn't have debt that the federal government had to go get permission from the Congress to do. On the one hand, I was telling Les, you could argue that this is a pure and simple thing you have to do, and so the right vote is to vote for the debt limit with no conditions. It puts Republicans in a very tough spot, because they're sitting here saying, wait a minute, you guys, Democrats, are doing the increased spending, and you want us to go along with it and to make it possible to happen. Tell you what we'll do. We'll make a deal with you. We'll do it, but we want to cut in spending to go along with it. That's what's going on.
Well,
is that cut in spending a regular thing you do in debt? No, it's not. It's a matter of political negotiation.
Let's hope they get it done, and Garrett Graves is right in the middle of this, and a listener noted, and correctly, since we had the infamous John Rarick, we've had some pretty solid Congress people representing this area, starting with Henson Moore and then Richard Baker. Briefly, Don Cashew, who did a nice job for 6 months, then Bill Cassidy, and now Garrett Graves. So Baton Rouge is having a place at the table with Shalonda Young on the other side, too. Thank you, gentlemen. Good luck with the kid. And thanks for listening. Hope you have a great weekend. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Until next week, stay safe and stay tuned.